Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bowers pitch hit high in the air right field. Marte looks up, it's gone. Jake Bowers hits it out to the second deck in right, and Milwaukee in the bottom of the seventh takes a 1-0 lead on a pinch hit bomb by Bowers. Pitch that's drilled right field. Frelick hits it out, this one is also gone. Back-to-back home runs off Buto, Sal Frelick. The skinny, short, left-handed speedster hits a homer. And it's 2-0 Milwaukee in the seventh. The 2-1. Breaking ball popped up. First base side, foul ground. Alonso over near the sidewall. He doesn't make the catch. It tipped off his glove. He had settled under it, reached back, and he doesn't make the catch. It's strike two on Contreras, but it would have been the third out.
They are dead. I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Frelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him.
Peterson ready to go to work against him. First pitch. Swinging a liner toward short. Picked by Lindor on one hop. Runs to second. One throws to first. Out at first. Out at first. Put it in the box. The Mets are out at the mound, pouncing on each other. The Brewers may want to have a look at this just to be sure. But if this holds, this party is headed to Philadelphia. The New York Mets have won this wild card series.
Yes, that line forms on the right.
Babe, who would say this team is dead? All of you in the ninth inning, and you know it.
Back in town.
Nine, give me a call. I'm going to get right to you. Tonight's your night. Tonight is your night, bro. Met fans, what an incredible moment. I called them dead. I know how you were feeling that game, that moment. Forget, Dexter there in the update said, and the Mets yet again come through with a late inning home run. Forget all the others. Forget Lindor on Monday. Forget any other comeback, part of this miracle run the Mets are currently enjoying. Forget them all. Go back to 1962. Forget all of them, too. That is the moment for the New York Mets. That is the biggest moment, certainly, in my life of watching baseball for the New York Mets. That home run in that game, in that set of circumstances, is some of the most unbelievable, hard to fathom, incredible home run and turn of events I have ever seen. When you take everything into account, the way they blew the game to in the other night to even force this game, then you're going through the motions offensively. Like, let's be honest. Much like Monday against Atlanta, the beginning of this game is lifeless. Lifeless. And I know how it's... Then you heard the home runs, the pinch hit home run after Quintana, who's going to get lost in this game, gives you a great start. And you're shut down by a pitcher you shouldn't be shut down by. And then finally the home runs with Buto. And we'll get to all this. over the course of the show, 888-808-1019. And you did what everyone did and what Met fans have been doing for years. You gave up. Everyone gave up. And why shouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Going up against arguably the second best reliever in baseball, the second best closer in baseball with a two-run lead, with your offense doing absolutely nothing, and it going the script of every single Met postseason, every single Met big game, everything that you have been accustomed to seeing as a Met fan. I know. I've been taking your calls throughout all of this. I know how you feel. And I asked if you believed on Twitter if there was any magic, and all of you resoundingly told me no. No one believed in the magic until a walk. It always starts with a walk. And then a base hit. And then on a night where it felt like we had all given up, the man who we certainly have given up on in this season, a man who started the year heading into the season with, yes, his free agency and impending contract, and his negotiations with the Mets and the failings there, obviously a huge part of it as we headed into the season with Pete Alonso. But also a Pete Alonso that the biggest Met fan on this station went on a beard drought and wanted to make sure that this guy was signed, a player that this fan base has adored, the face of this franchise, franchise arguably, a guy who you couldn't imagine not bringing back, a guy who, you know, is going to break every record and become the best regular player that this franchise has ever seen, a franchise that's pretty much owned by pitching. This was going to be the guy, and you got to keep him, and the owner has all this much money, and how do you justify losing a player like this and all that? And slowly but surely, over the course of 162, the tables had turned, and this fan base had given up on the man. I had given up on the man. Everybody had given up on Pete Alonso. And the impact that he had on this season was so minimal that it was hard to fathom a guy who had been so integral in whether it's the 101-win season or it's the failings, whatever the case may be. Pete Alonso was there for all of it, in the middle of all of it. And this year, this fun year with all the storylines and all the winning and everything else, it was almost as if they did it despite Pete Alonso, without Pete Alonso. And we're killing him. And yesterday, Sal screaming, you can't watch him anymore. And we're all frustrated with him. And it's like, it's doomed. He's a disaster. He can't be back. Let him go rot at first base with his unathletic body somewhere else. And instead, in that moment, with two runners on, down two runs in the bottom of the ninth, in an elimination game where you are now two outs away from having this fun season, from having this miracle of a season, from having this unexpected run of nothing but magic from June 3rd to the present date, all of it was about to fade away in the most meek, ugly, almost fun-ruining type of end. And instead, the man everybody gave up on rose up and took a 3-1 fastball, or whatever pitch Devin Williams throws, the airbender or whatever it is, and hits a line drive to right field that I don't know if anybody else but Pete Alonso knew was a home run off the bat. And so much as we watch these games, and you're a baseball fan and you watch the home runs, you can tell so much from the hitter's reaction. And although the swing didn't look perfect, and the launch angle certainly didn't look perfect, and you weren't sure, his face told you everything. And in that moment, from his face to the transition of watching the outfielder track it down to right field, something magical happened. And that moment is as significant in Met history as any. That's as big a home. You cannot hit a bigger home run. In fact, no one ever has. He is the first player in baseball history to hit a lead-changing home run in a ninth inning or later in a winner-take-all game in the history of the sport. That is a moment that no other fan base has. That is a moment that no other man who ever played this great game can ever say they accomplished.
That is a win that is hard to come by. That is as good a victory and as good as a home run and as special a moment as we saw the watch party out at Citi Field. That is a moment that lives forever, whatever happens in Philadelphia. And I'm pumped for this series against Philly. Bring on Philadelphia. I think the Mets have an excellent chance in this series, but that waits for another day. And I certainly don't give a damn whether Pete Alonso is going to re-sign with the Mets right now. I don't care whether he should. I don't care what we think about it, how the money has changed. What I know is that before that swing, with his 0 for 3 and a drop pop-up in that game, not only was he gone, he was going to be happily gone. The fan base was going to applaud his departure. And this season was going to go down as one of the uglier momentum and fan feeling changing of a player in history. Like, from where he was inside the Met fans' heart to where he was about to be as he was going to exit this franchise. As you can tell, he can't say. He can't give a press conference or speak into a microphone without saying LMFG. LFMG. LFGM. I'll get it right eventually. He can't live without it. This is the polar bear. This is the guy who created it. This is the rip off your shirt during celebrations. This is Mr. Met. This is home run derby. This is everything. He's the guy. And he was out the door, and you were kicking him out the door. And not that you were wrong, but that's where we were. And not only did the game change, not only did the Mets' fortune change, but his season changed in one swing. And we talk about how it can happen. We talk about how in one moment, everything can change. And that home run is game-changing, season-changing, career-changing, emotion changing, New York changing, baseball changing. That is a moment that comes around few and far between. And the Met fans, you got to experience it on a level from a player against an opponent. Let's be honest. Like, I don't think Milwaukee's that good. I've been saying it all week. I don't think they're that good. You know where they're good? They got one of the best closers in the sport. Like, he's the one guy. When you talk about this Milwaukee team, sure, they have some guys, obviously. Churio has now established himself as a really talented young player. You know, Contreras is a good hitter. They've got a decent enough team. They won a division. I'm not trying to crap on them today or minimize the win. Certainly not trying to minimize the win. But when you think of this team, when you went into a series, the one thing you said was, well, let's not fall behind in a big game because they've got a tremendous closer. And in that moment, a walk, a base hit, and the guy everybody gave up on to come through in that moment is, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And this team, you want to talk about vibes and destiny, and we throw it around a lot because, hey, what are we doing, right? This is what we do. We throw it around. We try and get you amped up. We try and talk to you. Like, we throw these words around. Everybody does. Oh, they're a team of destiny. Oh, they're special. This is different. Like, these are all the things thrown around this Met team. There has never been a moment that I can remember, certainly around this team, and just like even in my baseball life, we all know it. I'm a Yankee fan. I've seen the dynasty. I saw game-winning home runs in 2001. That's on par. Like, those are like, this is as good as it gets. These are moments that come around every 25, 30 years. Let's soak it in. 888-808-1019. Let's get right to the calls. Let's go to Michael, who was at the game, apparently. What are you, driving home, Mike?
I am. I pulled over for some food, but somewhere between Milwaukee and Chicago. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, brother. What's going on?
I wanted to give a little perspective on the vibes in the stadium, but I did have a question, and forgive me, I haven't been online, haven't been on Twitter, been celebrating.
Right.
I thought Quintana had another inning in him. I mean, I know he was at 93, 94.
Oh,
pitches,
I said, we're not talking about giving Quintana another inning right now.
No, come on. I'm telling you, I hear... All right, I want to get to the good stuff.
Yes.
But I'm telling you.
Yeah, he might have. He pitched great in this game, and he's going to get lost. He's going to be a footnote in that great moment. And I'm hoping the Lindor moment, the Lindor walk, Because I think even more than the base hit, I understand the base hit changes the inning, but that walk gives them hope. Because, like, if Pete hits the home run without the base hit, it's still a tie game, and who knows what happens. It's not the same. You don't win the game right there. You don't take the lead right there. But even without the Nimmo hit, the home run still ties the game. You needed that spark from Lindor.
Yeah.
The walk from Lindor, from your leader, to give you that at-bat against it and make you realize, wow, you know, you could tell early on, Williams doesn't have his grade-A stuff. And that walk sparked that inning and made you feel like, okay, here we go. Because I'm telling you right now, if Lindor pops up, I don't think the inning happens. I still think the inning happens. If Nimmo strikes out, I still think Pete can hit the home run. But if Lindor pops up, Pete doesn't get on with a runner on. I firmly believe that. So it's a big moment. Where were you? So what? You were at this game. What was the? You went and traveled. You drove there. Where were you sitting? When did you get the tickets? When did you make the decision to go? You lucky son of a gun.
I've been at 4 games in 6 days. I feel like I live here.
You went there for the final series of the season and stayed there?
I went Saturday only, then back to Chicago, and then up here back on Tuesday. So I've been all around the stadium. I was down third baseline. It was cheap for a couple nights, and then I was way up top tonight, just kind of sitting with my emotions. But it was just such an odd feeling to, first of all, after Monday, I was content with whatever happened thereafter. And Monday just took everything out of me. I mean, I feel like the whole fan base is still coming down from Monday back to the Braves. But even at 2-0 in the ninth, and you're right about Lindor, I forgot, you know, after all the turmoil of a couple previous innings, I forgot, you know, we were back to the top of the order. But once I saw Frank F. Lindor coming up to lead off in the top of the ninth, I said we got a shot here, you know, and
right, the right part,
on, and of course,
yeah, the right, you know, part, the right part of the order was coming up, and thank you for the call. The right part of the order, and thank you for calling from the road and pulling over. The right part of the order was coming up. Like, I felt fairly calm. It's only 2 runs, and only needs the blast, and I knew it. Like, I tweeted it out. It's going to come down to Pete. I didn't predict the home run necessarily, but I knew they were going to have somebody on, and it was going to come down to Alonso. And to have that moment, to have that swing, I mean, that it's a classic. It's going to be relived for not only Met fans, but baseball history. That is an enormous home run. I know it's only the wild card series. It's an elimination game. If the Mets go on to do something special, it doesn't happen without that home run. As whatever hits come from it, whatever hits come in this Philadelphia series and beyond, if the Mets are lucky enough to be playing there, like, all of them will be set on that Pete Alonso hit. All of them will be part of a journey that began with that Pete Alonso hit. That Pete Alonso home run it's crazy. And considering all the noise around this guy, considering how everyone's been bashing him, and listen, if you're the guy who wasn't, if you're one of the few people who weren't, and you want to take a bow today, God bless you. It doesn't make everybody else wrong. Pete was awful. Does the noise get too loud sometimes? Of course, we're in New York. Did the vitriol and hate get a bit too loud? Maybe. But this has been a special year, and the guy's done nothing. And he was doing nothing in the postseason. And he did nothing against Atlanta. Like, oh, he had a couple walks? Like, let's be honest. The narrative around Pete Alonso this year has been fair. It's been absolutely fair. He's brought it on himself. He made dumb comments when he was trying to justify his season earlier in the year. I thought he sounded tone deaf yesterday when he said he was pleased with his at bats. And he's been downright awful. So I'll take your call if you want to come on and crow and say you knew it all along. Great. But don't get on the other Met fans, don't get on other people who had the opinion that Pete Alonso was a waste of space this year, because he was pretty damn close to it. About as close as someone with 30 home runs and 80 RBIs can be on a winning team. It's literally about as close to a waste as you could possibly be under those set of circumstances. And so for a guy that the fan base was ready to put on an iceberg, like, because of a polar bear analogy, put on an iceberg and just shove off. This erases everything. And now, more than that, you feel like, well, now what Pete Alonso are you going to get moving forward? Now you feel like he's relaxed. How could this home run do anything other than that? How could he feel like the rest of this is gravy, whatever I do here? What pressure am I under any longer? I just saved the season. What if Pete Alonso gets hot? Now, you know, I was listening to the postgame and Gary Cohen said they would be unstoppable. Maybe I'll stop short of saying unstoppable, but it sure does help them. If they can get the typical Pete Alonso before this year, a guy who has been clutch over the course of his career, and a guy who can clearly have swings like that and hit a line drive, that's Stanton-esque. We all know what he is. He's one of the premier home run hitters in the league. Take an outside pitch and just hit a missile over the right field fence, there's not a ton of guys who can do that. There's really not. And if that's the kind of player you just added to the middle of your lineup instead of the floundering, sad sack that he's been, the guy tripping over his bat on the way to a double play, like if the dichotomy of what you got in the first two games and now what you could have moving forward as you go through the playoffs could be dramatically different for this team. A team that has struggled offensively. We'll give them their flowers with this great moment, great comeback, resilient, all that, fine. They would just shut down for the last two games by a pitching staff that's not nearly as good as what they're about to face. Not nearly as good. And they're going to need Pete Alonso to continue. They haven't won the World Series just yet. But what could they do moving forward with a Pete Alonso who now has this home run in his back pocket and this moment in his back pocket and now a fan base that is going to the ovation he is going to get in game three of this series, barring, you know, disaster in the first two. But even then, the ovation Pete Alonso, the love Pete Alonso is going to feel from this fan base that is going to put everything else aside. And all the nonsense and everything else aside, at least for the time being. The contract is a different thing. We'll see how we feel about it in the offseason. That's different. But what he's been this year is no longer relevant. The only thing Pete Alonso has been right now moving forward, the only piece of information we will take from Pete Alonso on this season, the only thing moving forward that means a damn is his last at bat. He just had one of the great home runs in playoff history and Met history. That's all that matters. Tom on Long Island. What's up, Tom? Tom, you there? I'm going to put Tom on hold because maybe you thought I was going to break. I don't want to hang up on him. Ray and Edison. What's up, Ray?
Hello. It's been a while, buddy. How are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. First of all, congratulations to all the Met fans out
there.
Yes,
sir.
I'm a Yankee fan, but my family is 50-50. Mets, Yankees, my friends, and I literally had goosebumps when that home run got hit. And I said, unbelievable, the ninth inning. I run a manager. I'm the manager at a restaurant bar. The bar blew up. I had grown men running out of the bathroom, pulling up the pants, going, what I miss. And it was just earth-shattering home run, like you said.
Right.
It's one for the record books. And I called my family, my cousins. I'm like, unbelievable. He goes, it was amazing. The bar blew up like crazy. Everyone was just a fan together and was so happy. And I just want to – I was a Yankee fan. I'm just – couldn't believe the goosebumps I had all over my body. It was just such amazing. And I said earlier, this is what I wanted to call about. I said, watch the Mets put it right to the ninth inning and someone's going to hit a home run. I did not think Pete Alonso. Not at all. Your opinion.
Yeah, no, listen. And thank you for the call. And this is that kind of moment. This is that kind of moment that gives you chills all up and down your body. It is. It just is. It's one of those moments where you can't believe it. If you're a fan, there's nothing better. That's as good as it gets. I mean, you probably feel as good right now almost as you would if you win the championship. This is what sports is about. There's only one team that wins, right? And that is special and it's different than this, no doubt. But these moments,
This is what sports is. This is what it's about. The joy in the moment. It's like Christmas, right? You get something, and certainly now as a parent, looking at Christmas in the opposite way than I did when I was a kid. I mean, it's all about the reaction. It's all about that moment of euphoria. We all know that half the toy is going to be in the garbage or hidden under the couch, and we won't see it for the next 6 months. And then all of a sudden, you know, when we're cleaning out, like no one, you know, you forget about it in a week. Tomorrow, you know, Saturday comes, they get beat 8-0. Met fans are pissed off again. But in the moment, that reaction, that lives forever. That lives forever. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your Met phone calls on, you know, what typically is a football Friday. And we'll get to the Giants and Jets a little bit, as the Jets will be in London. Giants take on the Seahawks. But off a moment like that, Met fans, buckle up. Because we have a big series still to promote. Both teams will be playing on Saturday. So enjoy it now, Met fans. I'm here with you to help you enjoy it. But come Saturday, you are not alone in this city with big playoff games being played. And hopefully you are not alone with
postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big moments being made.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 233. McMonagle with you on the Fan. I mean, that one of the great moments in Met history. To me, Fliegelman's a big Met fan. We've been kind of going back and forth in the break about, you know, the biggest home runs: Benny Agbayani, Todd Pratt, obviously Robin Ventura, Murphy in the AL in the NLCS against the Cubs. But I don't know. In my mind, and again, as many of you like to point out, which I don't know why we're so hung up on. I'm a talk show host here for all of you. I don't know why, like, Yankee fans can't talk about this stuff, or Met fans can't talk about Yankee home runs. It boggles my mind. I don't know when we got so polarized. I was unaware that sports radio is on a similar, line as politics these days. But apparently it is. But for me, as an independent observer, as Evan likes to say, when you consider what this season could be and the feeling around this team and the magic nature of it, Pete Alonso, who literally has been described, and you know it's true if he stays, he's going to hit the most home runs in the history of the franchise. He could argue, you know, he'll have all the records. If he signs a long-term deal this offseason, he could possibly go down. You know, maybe not the best ever in their prime because Piazza was so good and Darryl Strawberry was dynamic when he was younger, but like, he's going to go down as one of, if not the greatest position player in the history of the franchise, and everybody wanted him gone and everybody hated him. And to come up in that moment, nobody trusted him. Nobody. And to come through with that home run that saves their season and gives them a lead. He hit a 3-run home run in the top of the ninth against the second best closer in the sport, down 2 runs. You can't, that's as big a home run as you can hit. That's it. And I got a Yankee fan killing me for comparing it to the 0-1 World Series. Obviously, the emotion of being after 9/11, huge. I understand that. And those home runs, believe me, that's life to me. I watch those home runs once every, you know, year or so. But one, they only tied the game. And two, as much as it's the World Series, they didn't win the series. And three, if either of those home runs aren't hit,
the Yankees still play the next game with an opportunity to win the series. Like, those weren't elimination games. They don't win the World Series, and it only tied the game. You still had to have Mr. November. You still had to have Soriano. You still had to have those other moments. This won them a game where if they lost, they were going home. If Pete Alonso hits a ground ball, we're talking about the end of the season. And if they go on to do special things, how is it not right up there with anything? Is it the same to me as home run? For me personally, no. This doesn't compare. But for a Met fan, I think it's on par, that feeling. The feeling a Met fan had in that moment last night compared to the feeling a Yankee fan had in that 0-1 World Series, or all the different, you know, home runs, Mr. November, all the different things hit in our history. This is as good as it gets.
You've convinced me, at least from a Mets fan perspective,
yeah,
it's at least above everything. The only one that I'll maybe say, and I can't speak to 69 or 86, but right, anything in the 90s and beyond, the only one that I'll say maybe still above it is Murphy giving them the lead in Game 5 against the Dodgers because of how tight that series was and how close that game was.
Right.
But everything else, all the ones we discussed during the break, you're right, it is above those.
Yeah, I think it is. And maybe it's recency bias, but I mean, that was pretty freaking special.
The swing from down to up, for sure.
Yeah, oh. And just him and his career and what he means. You know, I know at that point, Murphy was already deemed a net negative by some, and then he leaves and everything, but, like, Murphy was also a struggling guy. We have visions of falling down in the outfield and, like, you know, couldn't, you know, had a tough time, you know, latching on with the team, and then, you know, became an explosive player that postseason and then the next few years in Washington, but This is your guy who was your guy up until this year started. And it wasn't even like through the start of the year when it was struggling. Like, what really started to annoy the Met fan was as they were winning, he had nothing to do with it. And to have not only the game turn around, their season turn around, but the narrative around Pete Alonso and the feeling of an entire fan base towards a beloved player up until a few months ago is crazy. It's so much, if anybody else hits the home run, I might not put it on par. But because it's Pete Alonso and all the surrounding noise, it's crazy. It's just the most unbelievable home run that, you know, in recent memory, for sure. Where'd I go? Tom in Long Island. What's up, Tom?
Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, good. I mean, listen, I'm great right now. This is one of these special Mets moments, right?
No
Every
doubt.
Now and then this team has a special thing that goes on with them, right? This is Wilmer Flores crying in the outfield. This is Andy Chavez 2006 NLCS catch. This is Murphy.
Hopefully,
NLCS,
yeah, but the difference.
Yeah, that's
true. But the difference is, you know, first of all, with the Andy Chavez catch, they lost that game and lost that series. So this is far better. This is far better than the Andy Chavez catch.
But it's one of those special moments,
yes,
right, Chris? It's one of those special moments for a guy who we viewed as the face of the franchise,
mm-hmm,
and a guy who has made huge hits, and he's absolutely struggled. And the Met fan gave up on him, and the team almost gave up. And we almost sold him at the deadline. We were looking at what we can get back on him.
Yeah. I know a lot of people wanted him traded at the deadline, yeah.
Chris, there's an old saying, right? It's not about how many you get sometimes. It's about when you get them.
Sure.
He certainly got one when we needed him to get one.
Yep.
And not to get ahead of anything, right? It's, you know, a three-game series. They probably should have closed it out of game two. We shouldn't be having
Yeah, I mean, this
right
they,
now.
They blew a
but
game.
This,
and
this is one of these special Mets moments.
No doubt.
It could be.
No. And I want to enjoy and bask in the special moment of it, but you're right. In a way, they blew a game and they shouldn't have had to be here. In another way, they're about to go play a team that's really freaking good. And not to knock the Brewers or to diminish this win and this series win, because it's a good series win. They were a division title team. I'm not saying the Brewers aren't good. What I'm saying is Frankie Montas started game two. All right? I mean, you are going to go play a very talented Phillies team with a lineup full of guys who have now proven playoff performers and MVPs. Like, and you're going to go play the first two games in Philly. This is a different animal now than this Milwaukee team. It just is. And I know that, you know, I'm not trying to knock Milwaukee. The Mets were within two outs of losing this series to Milwaukee. But this is different. So whatever happens next, right? Whatever happens next, they're going to be underdogs in this series against Philadelphia. I think they have a chance to win the series, but they are underdogs and they should be. Philadelphia has proven to be the better team pretty much all year long. I know the Mets have the best record since whenever, but I mean, Philly had the cushion to lose some games. It's a different thing when the Mets knew they had to go on this streak if they were going to get here. Philadelphia was in a bit of cruise control for a while. This is a team that's been excellent. So whether Pete Alonso performs moving forward and the Mets win the next series and win the next series and win the World Series, it's just this moment. And whether or not Pete Alonso is here next year, I don't know he'll be here next year. I still don't know if he's worth the contract he's going to ask for. But what does change is the feeling around Pete Alonso, whether he's a Met or not. Because there might have been some golf claps if he came back as an opposing player. And it might have been, you know, it might have been nice and people probably wouldn't have booed him necessarily, but it wouldn't have been, and it wouldn't have been great. And the feeling around him from the fan base, it would have been good riddance. Now there's going to be some lament. Now there's going to be some sorrow. Now he'll forever be, that moment is enough where every time he comes back to Citi Field, he will get a rousing ovation. Because not only has he hit all these home runs and been the face of the franchise for a while, he has one of the great moments in Met history, if not the greatest. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
When I saw that man hit that 86-mile-an-hour changeup the other way, I was like, this guy deserves it, man. Because the last couple of days, I've been seeing how he's just been getting beaten down. I'm just like, thank God. It couldn't have happened to a better guy.
No, I mean.
And I also saw Evan Roberts' statement last night. And I was like, wow, he must have been listening to the fan because Evan Roberts pretty much challenged him to step up, but he stepped up right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, it was time. Everyone was asking for it. I mean, listen, I was killing him. They put out a story about me saying that you could have the conversation about pulling him from the lineup. If you listen to the show and you've listened to what I said, and I usually don't do this, I don't care. He put out whatever story. I did say the words, but we were like chatting up possibilities at 3:30 in the morning on a 5-hour midnight ride. Okay, I didn't full out say they need to bench Pete Alonso. I'm not going to go back and argue with people on Twitter. I don't care. But I never suggested they should bench Pete Alonso. I said you could make the argument to bench him. That's how bad he's been. You could make the argument. As the callers were calling up last night and killing him. And rightfully so. He deserved to be killed by the fan base. He's been brutally bad. That it's okay to say that. He deserved, again, does it go too far sometimes? Absolutely. You know, does IKF need to be accosted leaving Yankee Stadium? No, of course not. And Alonso, probably still deserved to at least have some positive feelings around him. But ultimately, he's been awful. And he was challenged. I killed him and had the conversation about possibly benching him. Evan's pleading with him and egging him on. Sal saying he can't watch him anymore. Like, yeah. Yes. Those are all fair. And he's 0-for-3 with a drop pop-up heading into that at bat. And now all of it's gone. No one remembers it. Who cares? The drop pop-up? What are you talking about? In 5 years, no one's going to be, oh, yeah. And remember he dropped the pop-up in that game? No. No, I don't. Remember how awful he was all regular season? Was he bad that year? I mean, he must have been good. They had a good year. That's it. As opposed to that bum was awful. All he cared about was his contract. He was selfish and couldn't play because all he cared about was trying to make money. And then he went and signed somewhere else and see you later, Pete. We're better off without you. They were one ground ball or strikeout away from that. And now he's a hero. Like, what else do you want? Ed in Mohegan, what's up, Ed?
Hey, what do you say?
What's up,
buddy? You know, you couldn't be more right when you said it always starts with a walk. Now, I don't know how old you are. You remember the 1996 series, or no? You're too young.
The 1996 World Series.
Correct,
brother. Not only do I remember it, I remember being on my floor crying after Game 2, and crying to my dad that they're going to get swept, and my dad looking me dead, looking me dead in the face and going, yeah, they probably are. So I remember it very well.
All right, so then you remember game four, the famous Wade Boggs walk. How similar is that? I mean, didn't lead to a walk-off, but in that game, that's the game where they were down 6-0.
Right.
They came back.
It leads to the home run. It leads to the Ritz home run.
And they ultimately won. Ritz home run was in Seattle. I'm talking about
It doesn't matter. We're talking about the Atlanta Braves series in 1996. Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. It was just a very memorable moment and very comparable to the Yankees. My other point was, you know, it's funny. I was looking for something on Alonso, and I'm a Yankee fan, you know, but I'm I don't care. I root for the Mets as well until they go to the World Series. Then I'm a Yankee fan. So I'm looking for something on Alonso, and I don't know how well known this is, but he played ball down about an hour away in Madison. He played for the Madison Mallards. And he just got into their Hall of Fame this year. And I'm thinking how great it would be to come back to Wisconsin and ruin the Brewers. And I put it out there. I said, you know what? He's going to do something to ruin the Brewers' season this year. And he did it. And it was just wonderful. I mean, just to be able to come back to that state and wreak havoc on the Brewers 10 years after winning all kinds of titles and starting his career in Madison. I thought it was just so poetic.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of poetry to this. He's got the pumpkin that he picked in the pumpkin patch. He's got the playoff pumpkin. No doubt.
Add it to the gimmick list.
Exactly. I saw someone tweet that. Add it to the gimmick list. Now there's a playoff pumpkin. But, yeah, the Boggs walk's a little different because it's a bases loaded walk as opposed to starting a rally. But this walk... You needed Lindor to do something. Like, plain and simple, Lindor has to get on. I understand the hit from Nimmo is important, too, because, you know, it really knocks, you know, Devin Williams kind of off his kilter. But if Lindor doesn't get on, I think he settles in and probably goes through the inning rather easily. I think the walk to Lindor changed the entire aspect of the inning. I know that's not stating the obvious. I understand that. But I think even more than the base hit from Nimmo, which is obviously, it's all important. It's all needed to be where we are. But starting that inning, if you wanted to believe that the Mets could accomplish it at all, if the Mets were going to believe, it had to be their MVP getting on base to start the inning. You can't have an out. You can't have the first out. Mikey in Westchester. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, how's it going, Chris? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
So, a couple of things. We actually discussed a couple of these things last night, and you actually replied to me on Twitter earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is about the uses of Peterson.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about why didn't you bring him in last night? Mm-hmm. And is he gonna? And we thought that he would come in, but it turns out Quintana actually...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Peterson's...
It was great.
Yeah, I mean, Peterson ends up... Once they fall behind and, Mendy feels like he has to go to Diaz there to make sure no more runs are scored, then it opens it up for the ninth inning, which I'm still surprised he kind of went to Peterson there. I did not expect Peterson there, but Peterson's role in this game, it ended up being closer, which I didn't expect. But his role in this game was in Clay's... It was in case Quintana, like when you texted me, it was already like the seventh or eighth inning. Oh, it was when Buto gave the home run. And you're like, well, where was Peterson? Peterson's not coming.
Yeah.
He's not coming in this game unless Quintana struggles. I mean, that's if you have to pull Quintana in the second or third inning, that's where you have Peterson. They got it to the sixth. They got to their guy. They got to Buto, who's been great for them.
Yeah, but the other thing is now what I'm worried about is, like now, because that he had to use them, he didn't use them last night, and he could have possibly closed it out. Obviously, could have, would have, should have, yada yada, and tonight. But now because he had to use them tonight, now we have Trevor McGill starting game one. Like, if he didn't use Peterson tonight, would Peterson have been the game one starter?
Well, I mean,
on Saturday,
yeah, possibly, you know? Yeah, possibly.
I'm more comfortable with that than McGill.
Yeah, did Did Mendoza announce a starter for game one yet?
Yeah, he said.
He said McGill.
He said McGill on the post game.
Right, right. Okay.
So I'm like, wow. I'm like, that's. I don't feel good about that.
I don't think you worry about it right now. McGill's been pretty good. McGill pitched well in the post game in the postseason. He pitched well.
They won the McGill versus Wheeler Sunday night game.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, McGill's been good. They've all been good. He pitched well against Atlanta. I have no problem with McGill starting. I really don't. I thought you were going to talk about Budo now not being able to be, and now Budo's out for game one, I would think. And that's part of, like, he hasn't typically, he's done it a couple times this year, but they only, you know, to go with him only one day off, you saw what Budo did there. Like, he just didn't have it. And you know what's funny? I swear, and then I saw John Boy tweet it out too, so, but I have to be totally honest with you. Like, there was a couple of signs in this game. One, you could tell that Williams didn't have it after the first, you know, first couple pitches and the first at-bat to Lindor. But I got to be totally honest with you. For whatever reason, when they cut to Budo on the mound and he dropped the ball on the mound, like, if you saw it, they cut to him, he's on the mound, he's, like, holding the ball, and all of a sudden he fumbles it and he drops it and he has to go get it. Like, in my mind, I was like, that's not good. I know that's silly, but, like, I was like, in my mind, I'm like, he's nervous or something. Like, he's bumbling with the ball. He dropped the ball on the mound. Like, I was like, that's not a good sign. I did not expect back-to-back home runs, but there was something about that where I was like, that's not a good sign. You shouldn't be dropping the ball on the mound. And obviously, that's heartbreak. You got, you know, Bowers. It just feels like every Yankee, seriously, the Mets should consider playing Bader more. Because every single stinking Yankee playing for another team in the postseason right now is killing it. Even Gary Sanchez is ripping doubles down the line. You got Kyle Higashioka hitting home runs in both games in the series in San Diego. You got 12 strikeouts from King. You got Bowers hitting what was thought to be the game-winning home run last night from Milwaukee. Like, it's unbelievable. Severino pitching six innings. Like, you know, put Bader out there. Peter, real quick before the top. What's up, Peter and New Rochelle? What's up, man?
Hey, C-Mac. How's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I was just going to say, I'm actually I'm a younger fan. I'm still in college, but I was wondering that, like, these last 2 days, like, in the last couple of days, the home run between Lindor, the walk-off against, not the walk-off, but the game-winning against Atlanta and Alonso tonight, like, the Mets seem to have some sort of magic that I don't really know. Like, I almost just believe that, like, they're going to just keep pushing forward no matter what happens.
Well, I mean, now how do you not have belief?
I know it's like the old saying from 1969 and 86. You just got to believe. Like, at this point, I feel like you have to.
I mean, listen, I'm not kidding. I know the fan base fairly well. I've been surrounded in my whole life. I've been working at the station for going on 18 years, believe it or not. I wasn't always this extremely talented overnight host. I've been here for 18 years. I know, and I put it out on Twitter, and I got the response. In that moment, the minute, the second, the ball leaves Bauer's bat, 99% of the Met fan base thought the game was over. 99% of the fan base thought that was it. Forget the second home run. Forget what it, like, that's it. The game was over. You got to get, if I'm going to own up and play this team is dead, we got to talk about Sal's tweet that literally said the season's over and said, nice little team. Let's go out and spend money and be better next year. Like, that's that. I asked if there's any magic left heading into the ninth inning, and I resound, not a single person said yes. Not a single response I got. The entire fan base thought the game was over, and I wonder if that miracle moment can change things. If I can change, and you can change, we all can change. Everybody can change. If you think, like, game one against Philadelphia, they're down a run. Just say one run. In the ninth inning, will there be faith or is the game over? I'm curious to see how a Met fan feels. Has this finally, because the Lindor home run didn't do it. Winning game one, that miraculous up and down, six runs in the eighth and then only to blow it to have the Lindor home run, that didn't do it. That didn't do it. It wasn't enough. I think blowing game two hurt, but that miraculous win wasn't enough to make the fan base still believe in the direst of moments. And I'm wondering if this Pete Alonso changes it. Because, man, if you can't believe now, or at least be uber positive, like what is it going to take? Do you have to win multiple championships? Like, what do you have to do to believe in a team more than what they've done here? You go back. I mean, they've had the best record in baseball for a couple months. They've had the best ERA from the starters for a couple months. They just had, you know, even when they seem dead in Milwaukee, even when they seem dead after Atlanta, they get off the deck and have a miraculous win against the Braves. Now they, you know, have a ho-hum victory one where they score a bunch of runs, put together a great inning, cruise control, have a brutal loss in game two where they had the lead and blew it, are down two runs in the ninth inning to arguably the second best closer in the sport last night, and you come back from that. What else would you have to do? What else would this team have to do to finally just have unconditional faith? I think we're at this point, Met fans. Unconditional faith. It doesn't mean you'll be rewarded, but you have to have it. At this point, you have to have it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 1 hour down, two more to go. Again, we will start to talk a little bit of football. It is a football Friday. We'll give you picks as we normally do. We'll probably breeze through that a little bit because I was awful last week. And we'll get to the Yankees, too, because by the time I speak to you next, which will be Saturday night after the Yankee game, by the way, another back-to-back Saturday night McMonagles, if that makes sense. C-Mac on a Saturday after the Yankee game. But the next time I speak to you, the Yankees will have played a playoff game, finally. And as much as my Yankee brethren are upset with me for some reason that I'm talking so glowingly about the Mets, don't you worry. Because now the Mets are no longer alone in this city when it comes to big-time playoff games. So I'm looking forward to Saturday. Both teams will be on the field. Mets, Phillies, Yankees, Royals. Can't wait for it. But right now we're still basking in the glow in what was one of the greatest home runs in baseball history. I don't know if that's hyperbole. It's one of. It's not, you know, Giants win the pennant or touch 'em all Joe or, you know, Bill Mazeroski, but it's a pretty big one.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.